All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to tonight's Integrity Leadership Class. Glad to have everyone on this evening. So excited. This is just more esoteric training than like we had earlier today, this morning. So glad to have everybody on. I know more people will be coming on. If you know somebody that you know needs to be on this call, just send them a text message and say, hey, come on in here. Even if you're driving, my tyranny always is. Tell them to get on this call. Come on, get on this call. We can help you. Be safe, Tierney. Oh, goodness. All right. We are on the Code of the Extraordinary Mind by Vishen Lakhiani. Damn, you remember what chapter we're on? Oh, we're on 6 or 7. Oh, we're on 7. Okay. Chapter 7 of Code of the Extraordinary Mind. I know last week we were talking about bending reality. Chapter 6, we were finishing that up. And Mr. Phil was telling us how time collapsing. Well, there's a chapter in time collapsing. I believe it was chapter 6, talking about bending reality. So, coincidence? I think not. Now, chapter 7, Code of the Extraordinary Mind. If you do not have the book, no worries, because in the link that we've sent for the call, we have the YouTube link for the audiobook of Code of the Extraordinary Mind, which is really good. And so you can definitely take a listen to that along and listen to Chapter 7 if you haven't done so already. And Antonio is coming shortly. He's talking to Monica's godson, who is 22 years old. And he wants to be rich, and so he's getting some firsthand knowledge. And so he'll be coming on shortly, firsthand knowledge, and he's blown away. That's what he said himself. Those are on my words. Those are his. Okay. So, thus far, what have we been, or what have you been learning from this book from Vishen Lakhiani with the Code of the Extraordinary Mind? Now, y'all know I'm a teacher, so if you be all silent and stuff, I'm going to just start calling on people. What have you learned from the Code of the Extraordinary Mind? Brules always comes up. Anything else besides Brules? Because that is a big deal, though, you know. That Brules is programming. But anything else in the book that we've gone over that has really stuck and resonated with you thus far?
For me, it's been the fact that if we are not paying attention, how much the environment we grew up in or didn't grow up in, our parents, anything surrounding us growing up shaped who we are today, and we're basing our lives on certain, like you were saying earlier, rules, and we start creating our own rules and end up living a life that we don't desire or a life that we really, really don't want. And we can change all of that just by simply changing the model that we created for ourselves and the rules that we gave ourselves. So that's what I have learned. Anyone else?
Nah, yeah, Antonio wants to go. I want to go. Oh, okay. I want to go. All right. Now, come here real quick, Dion. I need you to go call someone for me. Come. Hold on real quick. All right, here we go. Now, Grace was asking, hey, Phil, did you want to say something?
Well, to answer the question, it's kind of interesting. The fact that I'm dyslexic means that automatically I look at things in a different way. And I don't have to consciously choose to look at things in a different way. I naturally look at things in a different way. And I think if you look at many of the successful people in life, like the lady on Shark Tank is dyslexic, Elon Musk is dyslexic, the guy that started Virgin Airlines is dyslexic. I think it's actually an advantage that we look at things in a different way, and therefore we program ourselves differently than normal people do because they see things one way and think that's the right way. We see things the exact opposite and think that's the right way. And that's what makes us different and unique and lets us see things that other people don't see.
I think that's a great perspective. And I've read many great stories of people with dyslexia that do great things because they have to work harder to learn. And that work harder to learn wind up bringing out many of entrepreneurial skills. And let's face it, if you have a problem like dyslexia, the first thing you increase is your people skills. You can't make 100 on the test, might as well talk to people in class.
Yeah.
There you go. So now you become a grown person and you make a lot of money because you got people skills. Go ahead, Dawood.
That's what I did in class, but then I got into trouble.
Well, you know, that part happens too. We are in chapter 7. Thank you, Grace, for doing a review. Someone tell me what's the title of the chapter, which is 7. Lots of words there. All right, Grace has it.
Live in Blissabin.
All right. Now, this is going to actually tie into the reading from this. Live in Blissabin is actually going to tie into the reading from this Tuesday from Time Collapse with Phil and Susan. So let's postulate here. What do we think live in Blissabin is, and what advantages or disadvantages would that afford or unafford us? And please don't be quiet. Maximum participation. Who's first? What is live in Blissabin? What advantages? You ain't got to read the book. Just jump in there. Go ahead, Dawood.
Okay. So bliss, I would describe as, and Blissabin would be a new take on doing something that you love doing, finding bliss in it and being disciplined in if you find bliss, I got that.
You saw that, dude?
Yeah. It happens to the best of us.
I know. I was really expecting liquid. I really was.
That's funny. If you are in alignment with your purpose, then you are doing what it is that you love doing. So you find yourself in bliss and then you discipline yourself. And then the discipline just comes, I think, naturally, or the consistency, because you're doing something that you love, because you're in alignment with that, I think.
Nice. Nice. Did you finish?
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay, cool. Man, I like that. Who else? I liked it a lot. I liked it a lot. Even though you saw me try to drink my bottle top. I heard a female.
Those things that bring you bliss in your life. Those things that add the positive and help you to continue operating. And those things that elevate your spirits and your energy.
I like that too. Mm-hmm. Lisa Nichols says on The Secret, you know, follow your bliss. That's actually quite accurate. That really is. Phil?
Well, discipline is the price we pay for our freedom. You can't have freedom without discipline. If you have freedom without discipline, you have anarchy. So we have an empty canvas that we can paint any way we want to paint, but it's the discipline of the lines we put on our canvas is what makes the portrait.
That was powerful, and I never heard of it like that. Actually,
I was going to say, whoa, I heard that.
That was pretty deep. And freedom without discipline is anarchy. That was loaded. That was very loaded. That was powerful. Let's put it in the refrigerator for me. I'm trying to give Chris some space over here. Good stuff. Good stuff. Let's get one more. Okay, I see you, Prophet Jerry. I was going to say, let's get one more perspective.
I was thinking about bliss. It's like you're happy. You're doing something that makes you happy. Is that like a tar?
Yeah. you're right.
A type of bliss and making you happy. And you got to have a discipline to make you happy.
Oh, now you said something.
You got to have a discipline. I'm sorry.
No. I'm just keep going. I will. We'll talk about how you just blew my brain out after this here. Keep going.
You got to have a discipline to make you happy. So when I think about that discipline is you got to change from what you learned before. You got to change your whole atmosphere. You got to change your whole energy to discipline happy. When I think about me and the queen, I had to, there was some damage done to me, and I had to find myself happy before I can make her happy. So discipline, you got to, you know.
I like it. Now, I like that a lot. And here's what you did when you said, I've never, but you're right. Human beings need something. You need a discipline to be happy. I find a lot of truth in that. I do. If humans don't have a target to go after, we're not really happy. Yeah. Even if that target is just being lazy all day. I ain't doing nothing all day. That now becomes a task, a goal, right? You know, and then we go ahead and do that. Go ahead, Daoud.
Yes, sir. Phil just like stirred up something in me, and so did Prophet, that yes, you're doing something that you love, but if that energy, it's energy, and if it's not contained or it's not focused or channeled in that direction, there will be chaos. So like a painting on a canvas, it needs parameters. It needs lines to guide it to a specific focus, to a specific goal, so that you achieve a specific outcome. So it's great to follow your bliss, but you need the discipline to focus that energy on what that bliss is to have a desired outcome.
Word up.
Oh my God, can we clap that up?
Yeah, go ahead. That's good.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Good.
I love this when I get to read the book without, because listen, I'm a person that is working on discipline. So to hear the lines of chaos or to stay in the lines to alleviate chaos, you know, there's a bliss there's a bliss that we all have, you know, but the bliss of feeling is how to channel your bliss. How do you channel your bliss into a focus where there is a, yeah, I'm learning, but keep going.
Right. So I heard it, but were you asking that, or was that your comment at the very end? Like, how do you learn your bliss? Is that something you were asking, or
I think you know how you be talking, and you know how I be talking, and then I hear, and then I. Okay, right.
Got you.
That's what happened. But that it's all about learning the bliss in the direction for the discipline to all manifest to make the canvas, make the canvas completed. You know how you can always have a painting that is not finished?
No, that's a good question. I mean, that's a good perspective there. Let me ask you a question. And it's a trick question. Is the canvas complete when it is blank?
Yeah, it's a blank canvas.
Can I?
You answer well. No.
If that's the outcome, then yes, it's subjective.
Let me get Phil here before I get to Chiquita. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, when we talk about target, that's the purpose of having goals, is so that you have a target. But we don't always hit the target, and that's the definition of sin, is simply missing the target.
Mm, 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 mm. ain't playing. I'm dead serious. I told somebody one day, Taquita, I see you. I got you. I told somebody, I shouldn't have did it, but I did it anyway. I went into a church facility. And they had the audacity to ask me about sin. And I proceeded to tell them, I took them on a Socratic journey, in which I asked them a lot of questions because I was going to trap them here in a little bit. And we got to one thing that they can agree with, that sin is separation from God. That's the one thing they could agree with. I said, cool. Well, is having low self-esteem a sin then? If it's not of God.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Is it not separation? I said, okay. I said, is hate a sin then? So okay, right. And I kept walking them to understand that anything. Oh, I'm sorry. I caught him with the Holy Grail, Phil. It was unfair. I was going to one thing the whole time, God is love. That's what I was going the whole time. I knew where I was going, but I knew I couldn't sit up and say, God is love, Prophet Jerry. So if it's the opposite of love, it is a sin. I couldn't say that. They wouldn't, not early. So I had to walk them through. If you are a human being that stop moving forward, you have sinned. Now, we're not talking about the little plateau moments. I give up. I'm not doing nothing. And seriously doing that moments. That's not God. God does not give up. God does not stop ascending. I got more to say. I'm coming back, though. Jaquita?
For me, Blissipin says a protection, setting boundaries against outside things to protect the bliss that you have found, because people try to put their own expectations, their own thought processes, their own whatever, and make you adopt those and substitutions of your own. And so the discipline to be able to protect what you have determined as bliss for you in your life is what it says to me.
That's exactly what the
Wait a minute. Thank you, Quigley. I got that.
Yes. That is exactly what the book says. I mean, not exactly word for word, but that is what the book says. Bliss, first off, she's absolutely correct. Blissipline as the book. It's one of the words he makes up. He makes it throughout the whole book. Here's what he's saying in plain English. You need to have the discipline to stay blissful. Mm-hmm. And a continuous action of staying blissful. To the point, like any other discipline, you must learn to stay blissful and you must practice staying blissful and get better at it each day. Whoa. That.
I got a question.
Go ahead. I'm listening. It is powerful.
That's powerful. So now I have a question. So you mean that if you're really in a place and you're not in the bliss, but you know where the bliss is, God is working on you in the process of figuring out how to channel and keep your bliss?
I'm saying something more powerful that when you work on your blissipline, you have no reason to even answer this question. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm saying, no. The question was valid. I'm because the question was, so what should I do in this in between? When you're working, when you're having discipline to chase your happiness, or pun intended, working smart, making money, work smart, make money, have fun. Working smart, making money, and having fun. All right, there we go. Okay. When you're doing that intentionally, there ain't no what happens if. There is no if. You're enjoying right where you are. You don't even notice that you're in a bad place. I don't need that to fall on deaf ears. Wait a minute now. What if I
told you? I was gonna say I heard you.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm talking to everybody though. Because y'all don't enjoy the process. Don't fool me, nah. Come on, every day. I see you every day. Okay, let me get Ashley then Grace. I'm coming back to that enjoy the process, by the way. Go ahead, Ashley.
No, it's funny that this is the area that we've been in, because that's kind of what I've been talking about for since I started my Just Talk podcast, is like mindset on happiness. And it's very important that we, in each moment, you know, just kind of take a second from whatever negative thought we may have, and just really reset our mind to a happy moment and or a happier, you know, thought process on whatever we're doing, a solution instead of instead of focusing on the problem. Exactly. Thank you, babe. But that's pretty much kind of, I think, the main way I've been living life. When I realized, when they say envision something and it becomes the past, it's like, okay, well, if I'm envisioning, that's something that's a thought first, and I'm thinking about it and envisioning it in my mind and I'm visualizing it, it become a vision, you know? So I'm like, okay, if that's the same way it works with like not going too far in sin. So that was a way of, okay, if I start thinking about something and envisioning it in my head, more than likely I'm gonna do whatever crazy shakata I got on my head in my mind. So let me just stop it now and focus on a more positive solution or whatever I'm focusing on. And so with the negative, I just make that into more, bringing it into a positive zone. And when I want to have a more positive outlook, I, like you said, Antonio, focus on the positive. Why focus on a negative? Well, how is that going to serve you? I mean, if you come to someone with a complaint and not a solution, how are you helping the situation? It sounds like you're complaining and you're just whining, you know. Instead, let me tell you what I figured out the issue is, and this is what I'm thinking may be a solution. It may not be the answer, but at least you're considering options to fix the situation instead of looking at it as just a negative and looking at the post.
Y'all don't need to answer. No, you're right. Everything you said is right. I'm just using it as a springboard. Y'all don't need to answer. You just need to come up with an answer and keep talking until the answer show up. Like, y'all want the answer like right now. Phil, they want the first thing come out their mouth be the answer. No. I still don't know what I'm doing. No. I'm not talking about in life. I'm talking about with ATS. I still don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how the hell I'm going to get there. I just know I'm getting there. You understand? I don't know how, but I will refuse to be denied. Go ahead, Phil, then Dahoud.
I can't tell you how many times in my life somebody has said something to me and I said, wow, thanks for the compliment. And they said, Phil, I didn't mean for that to be a compliment. And I said, I know, but I chose to take it that way.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm coming back to that. I'm going to write that down. Hold on. Sure, that way. I'm going to write that. We're coming back to that.
Yes, sir. I actually beat me to it. And just to piggyback off of what you were saying, that yes, you have to discipline yourself to also protect your bliss from external forces. But there are also, as a person that's going through the low self-esteem course, there's also internal forces that are trying to throw you off, you know, your bliss. And I think it's so important to always stand on guard like a watchdog at the gates of your mind, because so easily these thoughts start to creep in or trigger, and your mind is, for the most part, I feel like it's almost under siege, and you constantly have to be a watchdog guarding your thoughts like a steel fortress so that these things just either bounce off or they fade away. I came up with something though, just before we jumped onto this course, I was going through this like, this feeling, because there's stimulation all around you. So there's constantly triggers being thrown at you. And I was finding myself feeling intense sort of negative emotion towards, you know, a person. And so I'm going through all the steps like, okay, do my mantras, you know, I am light, I am love, I am peace for new age spiritualism. Then I'm like, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And I'm going through all of that and talking to God. And so I'm going through these different steps and different phases of trying to pull myself out of this sin for what it is. By the time I come home, I'm like, no, man, there has to be a better way to manage this. I have to try and get a little bit creative with this process. So what if, so this is just a chemical reaction. It is a chemical reaction that's happening in my brain. And I'm just describing it with this emotion, which is referencing a particular person and a particular experience. So what if I just treat this this emotion or this feeling, this chemical reaction, as an unwanted visitor that's knocking on my door? And as soon as it knocks on the door, I'm like, I treat it like an unwanted guest, like, hello, hi, how long are you going to be here for? Okay, because I only have 2 to 5 minutes. In 2 to 5 minutes, you need to be out of here because I got things to do. Like, I need to take care of my own self. I need to do some self-love activities. And I think after 2 to 5 minutes, that intense emotion for me began to subside. And I thought, okay, fine, maybe there's success in that. Maybe I just need to switch around or get creative with how I deal with certain emotions so that I can maintain my bliss by treating it in a way that I can have a conversation with it and ask my brain for solutions and ask it questions. So, and in hoping that it will give me an answer back as to how to actually cope with that, that particular situation or that particular feeling. I know that was a lot.
No, that was perfect.
But it was well said. And Tierney did that the other day with her soul. Yes.
Oh, I did not know that.
With the emotion, when you take the truth, like fact, and it separated from the emotion. But God, to know that there's a power in knowing that it's okay to have it. But then, like you said, I gave it 2 to 5 minutes. You can get it in and get it out of here. You still were in control of that.
Because I feel like we can set boundaries for these things. You know, we don't always have to be at the mercy of these emotions. We can also say, listen, this is your time limit. I'm going to allow you in. I'm going to give you that grace. And after that grace period, you need to be out. If you need a hug, I'll give you a hug on the way out, but you need to be gone because I got better things to do than sit and lament.
God. Come on, God.
I am 100% agree with you, Diane. Like, I think I had to learn on my own when I had a baby. You know, it stopped being only about me making decisions and setting boundaries for myself, but then, you know, carrying a child in me and, you know, forming personalities and emotions with him and bond with him. Even then I felt, you know, I took a stand bigger than I usually would and said, you know, no, if this does not serve me well, I'm done, you know. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you, Dial. Everything you said was on point. Like, it was perfect. I couldn't have said it better. Like, I mean, it was awesome.
I love you guys. Thank you.
You sound so amazing when you speak, but you made me think about that time. I literally had to make that decision for myself where it was not only about me, but it was about my son. It was okay. It was either a decision to stress out or be stressed or handle it and let it go. You know, is because holding on to it, having challenges with things like, you know, ulcers and things like that in the past, you know, it eats you from the inside out, literally. And it's pain that you wouldn't wish on your enemy. And so I refused to go through that with my child. And so I had to make the decision that that wasn't going to be a part of the issue. And so I said no, and that really helped me, and I stood on that. So what you're saying though is like so true. I feel like the more you and we take time, and all of us take time to really just stop it in the thought and rearrange our thoughts and reset, it will take us a long way, literally, seriously. We deserve everything we want, and we can have it. We already have it. We have everything we need. We just have to think ourselves there. We got it.
Thank you, Daoud, because I have a
Thank you guys. You guys
Thank you, Ashley. I got plenty to say about that, but I'm holding it right now. I wrote it down. I'll come back to that. Grace and then Shaquita.
My youngest god sister, who is 24, and she is newly married, not even a year yet. And 2 weeks ago, I believe it was. Not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before that, Mom was telling me and my grandmother that they were, you know, together talking, and her husband was kind of talking out of his head. And so something said, take him to the emergency room. And they did. They thought that doctors, when looking at him, thought it was some kind of bacterial infection or whatever was going on. Point of the story, he ended up in ICU. And then it wasn't looking good. And then they found that it was some kind of bacteria on his brain that needed to get taken off. And so, And so that Sunday, her mom, you know, because it's only the two of them, they live in San Antonio. We're from Galveston. And so her mom and two sisters went up that Sunday to be with her, because I can only imagine what she was going through, being a newlywed at 24, and my husband going through this, and I don't know what this is, what's going to happen or whatever. But the reason I'm saying this is because throughout the process, if you know my god sister and you follow her timeline on Facebook and you know her, she's a genuine, caring person. She cares about a lot of people. And just looking at her timeline, it was just positivity throughout. It wasn't woe is me, oh Lord, I don't know what's gonna happen, I don't know what to do. It was, you know, it was scriptures here and inspirational messages there, and people constantly saying, you know, we're praying for y'all, we know y'all gonna pull through. My mom was adamant. My mom and Antonio are the same person, and when Antonio says, oh, you can guarantee I'm gonna get this done, that was my mom. Oh, Jordan gonna pull through. Oh yeah, Jordan gonna pull through. That's my god sister's husband. Jordan gonna pull through. God gonna do this. And so her assurance was my assurance. You know what, mom, you show right. That's what gonna happen. And not one time did I worry or whatever. And just throughout the whole process. And then, so they had to go in his brain, take out the bacteria. The surgery was successful. And I saw today on a post, she posted it about 19 hours ago, it said. And it said, the day before that, she said, the nurses, I can't tell you the number of nurses that said, I just got to come in and see the walking miracle, because he's up, he's talking, he remembers who he is, he remembers his name, he remembers Carrie, my god sister. And when he woke up and everything, and he asked her for a hug, and when she hugged him, he said, I haven't seen you in a long time. And so, you know, and today she posted, who goes from ICU to rehab? And that is what he literally did. But throughout the time, and living in this whole discipline, this girl taught people way older than her stuff. Taught people younger than her things. But the people, you know, who really pay attention are those who are older than her. And just to live in the bliss that we are talking about, because not saying that she didn't have her worries at times or whatever, but because she kept knowing who she is, who her husband is, and who holds them. She didn't waver, she didn't sway or anything like that. And I just saw a video of him, you know, doing, I guess, physical therapy, walking on a walker, And I was told that the nurses have been telling them, hey, man, you're going to slow down. You can't be going this fast or whatever. So he's just, you know, just getting back to his old self. And I just, it was, this boy really is a miracle, a walking miracle. And so just wanted to share that just because of the topic that we're talking about.
Yeah, that true story. I won't say much about it because I got a pin in it.
That was awesome.
No, and they're newlyweds. I'm not sure if y'all. Yeah. They're newlyweds, 23 years old, something like that. And they waited till marriage to have sex. Like, you know, the whole Miracle on 34th Street story. You know, that whole thing there, fantastic. And I just found about 2 days ago because, you know, I don't use Facebook like that. My fan page I do, but I don't use Facebook like that. So I just found out about it. We'll come back to that in a second. Chiquita.
I just wanted to shout out Deanna. So a couple of weeks ago, she had told us about the writing. When we were studying, you showed us that clip of What the Bleep. And mm-hmm. Deanna was talking about how we are made up of 90-something% water. And how she will write words of affirmation or whatever on herself to bring peace or whatever she was needing in that moment. And so I started doing that, and that just worked for real.
Look at that. You got to respond to that.
I start writing release fat on the fat parts of my body too. So it's a test. We work now.
You ain't got no fat parts of you. But anyway, yeah. Keep going. I'm sorry. Let me stay out your story. Go ahead.
Right. Stay out of my story. We got a 30-day test. But yeah, when I would be feeling like anxious or starting to feel overwhelmed, or even when I would have pain after I had the accident, I would just write on that place. I'll write on my arm, or I write on directly onto that place that was hurting, or on my head where I was feeling like anxiety or whatever, and I would just write peace, and I would write joy, I would write happiness and stuff like that, and I would feel the shift literally happen.
Thank you. I don't feel so crazy now.
No, it's science. It's science. It's not crazy. It's not. Did you want to say more? Yeah. Okay. All right. It's not words. All right. So we all know words have power. At least we all heard that words have power. But words are, man, this is so much to talk about. I can't put a pin in this here. Let's first talk about words. Words don't exist. That's not how words work. If words existed, why are fish not speaking? Words don't exist. It's just vocal cords is what exists. It's vibration. Our vocal cords allow us to twist and turn vibration into what we call language. If you can get past, if you just keep in your mind that Chiquita's bed bugs ain't talking, and only humans can. Only humans can talk. We're the only species with vocal cords, save the parrot that's not actually talking, that's more mimicking, but same thing, right? Now think about this for a moment, but it's not talk. Talk isn't talk. Get ready, Dad. I saw you on your mic. Talk isn't talk. Talk is just vibration. What is everything in this world? Energy. What does every energy in this world do? Vibration. Therefore, when you put words on you, you're putting vibration on you. When you put words on you that are positive, you're putting positive vibrations on you. So scientifically speaking, since you are a living being or 70% water or God self, you have no choice but to be a great creation when you use the great language there is, which is vibration. If that don't make sense to you, if that was poetical to you, how in the heck do you think God created this world? With an iPad? No. Through vibration. You understand? Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead, Daud.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I believe that the word is just used to describe the vibration that one human is feeling. That a human is feeling from one to the next. So words are basically just describing a vibration. Basically, I think.
Word up. No.
I have a question. Yes, is that why when they say that we're all different parts of one body, so that when it does get into the vibration, it moves as one?
Well, remember the universe, one verse, where everything is as one, and we are all one. But yes, everything you said is correct. Without me, go ahead,
universe. All one.
Right.
I'm hearing you.
Unitard. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? Unify.
So perhaps, right, when we become more advanced beings, we won't need the word. We'd be able to communicate through vibration. Like other animals communicate through higher senses, like dolphins will communicate through sonar. You know, that's
Urantia would feel.
That's the communicating, bouncing signals off of each other.
And that the word came flesh. Look at that, the vibration.
Now you're absolutely right. You're correct. That will keep going.
Yeah. No. So I was just that you are 100% like it just dawned on me that yes, the word is there to describe, but the vibration is actually the truth of the word. So if your word is not sincere, your vibration is actually saying, no, this is actually the integrity of what you are feeling, what you are putting out into the universe.
That is correct. Now, everything you said is correct without correction. I have no problem with what you said. It's actually facts. Hold on, keep your mic on mute. Do you mind if I show you how powerful you actually are? Okay, sure. He said yes. Here's the premise of his dialogue. So we won't even need words in the future, yes? Yes. And the answer is yes. But Daoud, you're already an advanced being. I'm not talking about like hypothetically. You're already in the future. Let me bless you. You walk into a room with an attitude without saying a word, won't we feel it?
100%. Right? Yep.
If you smile, start laughing without saying a word. Won't somebody else laugh and say, what?
What is it called?
Right? If you're black, start running and see if other black folks start running. Right?
Run!
That's a joke.
Don't.
That's a black
joke. Talking about what we running for. I don't know.
We'll figure that out later.
But I'm going to run anyway.
Yeah, we're going to figure that out later. Now, yeah. I just want you to know that we are more powerful than what they taught us. And it's okay, I'm not mad at them. I'm not mad at anything. I'm going back to work smart, have fun, make money. Going back to enjoying the process. Everything is good. And I don't mind. I like the fact that I get to have difficult situations so I can shock people about how happy I am. Which brings me back to what Phil said. Thank you for that compliment. That's not a compliment, Phil. I literally cussed you out. No. I chose to receive it as a compliment. Let me bring up a sad moment here, which I will address tomorrow for sure, without a doubt. But the sad moment is supposed to have good inside of it, okay? The sad moment's supposed to have good inside of it. But I'm going to bring up a sad moment. Most of you don't, if you're not in Texas, you don't know. And you're not supposed to know because you're not in Texas. So we have a guy who's been coming to the Wednesday in-person meetings since the second meeting. His name is Mike, auto mechanic. Notice I said his name was Mike. Mike was happy last night. Fact, the one person who signed up last night was Mike's customer. Mike's visitor, guest. Mike I mean, Mike wouldn't. In fact, I just gave Mike one of my cars or my car to fix up on so he can give it to Ken so Ken can do whatever he would do because I wasn't using it. Mike barely had gray in his beard. Mike died, as far as I know, at 2:59 p.m. today. I literally called Chris and I let Chris know because I didn't want Chris to come to the office and, you know, like find this out secondhand at 9 o'clock at night, right? You just recorded that man's last breath. Christina powerful. Was there last night. She saw Mike.
Powerful.
Mike did not, Mike's wife found him. I'm obviously going to bring this up tomorrow because I'm going to let Ken talk. It's Ken's, one of Ken's best friends. So Ken's going to be pretty broken up tomorrow. Mike was at every meeting. Happy. I don't know what was going on in Mike's life. I just know Mike did. Without warning, Mike, happy and a servant. You're right, Monica. Mike was healthy and happy. And in less than 12 hours. Well, no, that's nine. In less than 18 hours, Mike was dead. I don't know what to tell y'all, but Mike left last night happy and woke up in heaven.
Say so. It say so.
I don't know how y'all process information, but I damn sure want to die happy. I don't need to die rich. I want to die happy. I don't want to die with no machines. I don't want to die with strange for my son. I want to go to a meeting in the company I'm help building, go home, drink my water at two in the morning for absolutely no reason at all, because that's what I do, and then wake up in heaven. If y'all don't start, and I don't mean to use Mike here as a lesson, it's just, this is certainly not a lesson. This ain't even a warning. It's time for you to start choosing to take it that way. I'm still on field steam. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I really, really revel, or better word, I really, really, my vicariously, indirectly is what the word means. I'm so glad, to keep it simple, that I know a man who did not have an argument before he died. Let me tell you something. I don't know what you're going through. I hope what you're going through, you go through well. But I can damn sure tell all of you, everybody in here that I, everybody in here, like physically, and almost everybody on this call, because I know most of you, y'all got some hell of an egos. Can't be happy with that shit. You can't. Ego has nothing to do with happiness. Blissipin. Are you practicing with all your might to be happy? I made a mistake this morning. It was a mistake. I had to feel, all right, so let me feel, I was adopted at 14. I was adopted by two women. State of Texas only puts one woman on my birth certificate. State of Texas, 1996, I think. State of Texas, Yeah, I know the state of Texas ain't putting two women on the birth certificate, huh? I'm in Texas, okay? It's not California. Am I making some sense? Texas ain't putting two women on the birth certificate. All right, all right, all right. Now, Lucy Elizabeth.
Nope.
No, shit, no. No, there they have. Lucy Elizabeth Smith, Lorraine Temple Smith, both adopted me. Lorraine Temple Smith went on my birth certificate. She sleeps with her ancestors. That was my paternal grandmother, my paternal aunt, my dad's sister, took the brunt of said adoption. And she saved in both my cell, well, on three of my cell phones as mom. Mean no disrespect to my biological mother. My biological mother is not my mother. My aunt is. And she called me today. And Susan, I ain't gonna lie to you. She called me about a situation that had me all the way blanked up. I'm not gonna lie to you. Phil, ain't no sense in me lying to you. Don't give me no credit in this situation. I done wrote these people off. I'm not even that. I done wrote them off. And now, not out of no malice. I just understood, Daoud, that I have no positive experience in 39 years with this section of my family. As a matter of fact, they don't like the fact that my grandmother adopted me in the first place. Now, that's not conjecture. That's not an opinion. They literally don't like it, and they have let me know, okay? Now, one of them's a preacher. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
And the other, that's the truth. And the other is his daughter. Christians, I tell you. And they mistreated me very, very much. And finally, ask me why we not in the other office. I'll tell you right now. If you look at the old videos, you see us in a little weird place with these ugly white walls and stuff. All right, but it's huge. Well, because it was a family-owned thing, and I just decided y'all can have that. You can have that. Why? Because I realize that no matter what I do, I'd save 15 babies. They still gonna say, you know, well, you didn't have to put your hand on the baby though. Something, right? It's gonna be something. And my Aunt Lucy called me about them today and said, in these exact words, baby, that's how she talked. Baby. I mean, you even use real names too, so y'all can get to say, baby, call your Uncle Jerry. Call your Uncle Jerry. I said, now, Lucy, don't get me started. All right. you know that I have no intentions on walking to a place I'm never going to be accepted. I don't got time for it. She said, baby, I know. But call your Uncle Jerry. You know, that's how you know. And then this is where I messed up, Susan. This is where I messed up. I was quiet. Now, you should know before I tell you how I messed up, I don't talk back to my Aunt Lucy. I don't. She crazy as hell. She crazy. I don't talk back to my Aunt Lucy. I don't lie to my aunt. I could tell my Aunt Lucy, this is my mom. This is my mom. She's just affectionately known as Aunt Lucy. Aunt, if you're not from the South. And everybody call Aunt Lucy. You ain't got to be her aunt. I mean, you know, you ain't got to be her niece or nothing. She called you, everybody call Aunt Lucy. She said, oh no, you should know, I've told her some serious dirt, Latrice. And Lucy, I'm going to jail. I fooled around him. She said, okay, baby. No matter the bad stuff I told her, she liked that stuff, right? Just don't lie to her. She told me, Daoud, I ain't writing you, but I'll be here when you get out. Okay. I'll tell you what she said. Ain't no sense to be lying to y'all, okay? I've never in my life lied. Never in my life lied to my Aunt Lucy. Never in my life. So when I told her, you know I ain't finna do that, Aunt Lucy, because I don't lie. I'm conditioned now not to lie to her. Then she fooled around and hit one of my triggers, Phil. I didn't even know it was there. I didn't know it was there. I cussed. Now, I don't cuss. If you want me not to cuss, bring my Aunt Lucy around. I'm not going to cuss. I ain't cussing. My Aunt Lucy. I said something so tough today, y'all. I heard her back up on the phone. And right there, I said, I am tripping. I cannot. See, everybody else supposed to back up. My mama ain't supposed to back up. And we're not going to do that. Okay, you know what I'm saying? But she hit a trigger that I didn't even know was there, Christina. See, I don't know if y'all know, but I'm an alpha male. Okay, I don't know if y'all know. And a real one, too. Let me just tell you. All right? Ain't no sense to me playing around with that, okay? And then she said, all right. Oh my God. All right. She still got me messed up. These people dog me out so much. So I just walked away amicably. You know what? Here's a donation. The Lord be with you. I'm gone. She said, baby, just call him so he can stop telling people you running. Okay, two things are wrong with that, okay? Two things are wrong with that. For one, I ain't running from nothing or nobody, okay? I'm not running. I ain't running. So she already had me messed up right there. But running from this motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? This is how my brain processes. This is in nanoseconds, my brain processes. And I go, fuck! You can understand what comes next. Dad, hey, Lucy, I heard her go, okay, baby. I said, wait a minute. I said, in my brain, I go, I am tripping. I said, you right, Lucy. I had to fix it. I had to fix it real quick. Do not, under any circumstances, think, no matter how ascended or woke you are, your triggers still don't teach you how to act. That was the point of that.
Hey, wait a minute. I got to give you some of that. I'll put you on them things right there. Shit.
I ain't got no triggers, so I thought. But when you tell me I'm running from a whole man and a man that I done took care of, one that I ain't got no chance of running from, I found out that they feel I got a trigger. I need to calm my down. I didn't know. I got rid of all these triggers. But she hit me in a blind spot. She hit me in the blind spot. I didn't know it was there. I couldn't even teach y'all this today. I didn't even know it was there. Your trigger.
But I want you to know you talked about that trigger this morning.
That's
you,
why God made me hit it. But keep you going though.
Because you told me literally, why do you keep going into places where they don't want you? That the trigger.
Mm-hmm. And that's what she wanted me to do, go in place. So I ended up giving her my word and said, okay, I'll talk to him, which I have no intentions on talking to him, but no, but I don't lie to her. So I got no choice now to talk to him. Cause I don't lie to her. You know what I'm saying? I got no choice now to talk to him. I got any other choice. Now,
you're
I don't
good
know
boy, when. Antonio. You're being yes, a good man. Look, boy.
Susan, I hate every bit of it, but I'm gonna do it though. I'm gonna do
Antonio.
It.
Antonio,
I'm
gonna
say you better do it. Don't play with it.
No. Whatever she say, do I do? Go ahead, Phil.
You got to keep your safety on, so when you pull your trigger, it doesn't work.
I know that's right, Phil. Because I pulled that trigger today and shots rang out. You understand? That's true. But I remember telling Deanna and Reggie, because it was just us here. You weren't here, right, Grace? You was like at the store. It was just me, Deanna, and Reggie. I remember telling, and Chris was gone too. It was just Deanna and Reggie. And I remember telling Deanna and Reggie, no, I'm not supposed to make her back up like that. Right? And my line said on the mic, so they know I ain't lying.
I'm not supposed to make my mama back up for me. He said, I'm tripping.
Yeah. See, I'm not strong around Aunt Lucy. That's not. You know, I'm strong for her, but I'm not strong with her. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, I get it. And it seems like our triggers are with our family members. You know, with other people, we can just kind of be okay with it. And that's the situation, you know, through our marriage and everything, I really didn't have to deal with family. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom and dad, you know, they love the kids and come visit, and I never had any trigger points with them. Anyways, it was all love, and they just, you know, I was blessed that way. But all that other extended family stuff.
You know it.
And then these, you know, then I come down here and, you know, basically give up our life, our work, our friends, our home, everything to take care of my mom. So 8 years later, here I am. And, you know, the family, they don't even understand what I've done. You know, they don't get it, you know. And, you know, jealousies and this and that, and it's hurtful. Yep. No matter what, it hurts. It is. It hurts, right. And you try to do something, and you only make it worse. So the best thing is just to write it off, you know?
Yep. Write it off. You're right.
Yeah, go back to how we've always been, but we're the ones who have to pick up the pieces 8 years later. You know, they don't get it. They think, oh, we're down here in Florida having a grand old time. Well, that really wasn't it. You know,
surfing barefoot and stuff.
I was by my mom's side for 8 years. I didn't put her in any place. I took care of her, and they don't get that. They don't get it, and they never will. So you just have to let it go. And sometimes with the family things, you just have to let it go. And at some point, just let them go because it's too distracting.
I think sometimes they don't want to let it go. Sometimes they want to hold on to it because they feel like that's the only power that they have over you. So they'll continue to leverage that.
Well, it's never had any power over me. That's for sure. I mean, it hurt. I guess the power is it hurts. It hurts my feelings. But then I, for a little bit, and then I realize, you know, I know what my mom thought. I know what I did for my mom. She told me every day. She thanked me every day right up until the last words she could speak. So I don't have any doubt in that regard. And that's what you have to look at. You have to look at the good you've done and what you do and the family we have here and the friends that you have, that you've had, that know you and respect you. It's something about family.
Ain't that the
day? Yeah.
My Lord. The way she said it, she said,
keep going.
I wanted to piggyback on that.
And Krista said something off camera. I'm off mic. I'm gonna let y'all hear too.
Like, as much as the bad of the things that I talk about and the things that I carry, me speaking gives me the freedom to actually be able to overcome that these are my family members. But when we were on that 828 and that all things work together, because believe it or not, like, it hurts us. But the fact that you keep still, like the fact that it's not breaking you, that hurt is, as much as we think that it's hurting us, it's actually hurting them more to see that we just keep going. And when you find family, I mean, you know, you find family and then family want to tell you that's not your family. And then you just kind of say, well, family goes with the vibration. And that's what the ATS does. They vibrate. Yeah,
no doubt. I appreciate you. Well, I
wanted to say that because I have to go, and I didn't want, you know, this is a beautiful call.
Okay. And I appreciate you so much.
Leave it so early.
I know you got to go get your goons and have the worship.
But listen,
I already know. Now, listen, before you go, Kristen said, Chris was like, man, Susan, right. Family do you worse. And I said, that's in the Bible, man. And he got shocked. And then Grace was shot. And I said, no, that's written in red. Like, Jesus said that. So I'm about to give some context of a popular scripture y'all know, but y'all ain't never read for yourselves. That prophet never be respecting his own hometown. There's some context to that I'm going to hip y'all to.
Oh my God, I'm about to hang up and I'm mad.
In fact,
I didn't understand it at first until somebody had to explain it to me.
And then I was okay with it. Let me, you know what? Let me go ahead and I'm gonna do it right now. I'm gonna do it right now.
Yo.
Yes, ma'am.
My mom would listen to you. I would have the Zoom on.
I remember you told me that.
She loved you. She thought, and one of the last things she said to me before she couldn't talk, and you know, it all happened in a matter of days. She said, "I know you're gonna go on and do great things."
Wow.
And I want you to do that. I want you to live your life.
Yeah, I hear that.
I had an amazing mother. So
yeah, no doubt. I think I said this out loud before in transparency, but I was so busy. It wasn't even busy. I just couldn't. We wasn't as solidly established as we are now. So when Susan's mom died, I couldn't go to the funeral. They didn't know I was planning on going. I had already had everything booked but the plane ticket, and I was going to go. And I was just going to surprise them. I think I had Tempest like secretly figure out where the address was or someone. I think we sent flowers or something. Well, something like that. And now, because of that, and God is real funny with that stuff. That still, to this day, it still burns me up. But it has created this fire in me to make sure when that happens again, I be at everybody else's funerals. God will take a failure and make it your breakthrough. I wish I had somebody. Okay. Chris said, "What? Really? That's in the Bible?" All right. So here we go. Luke chapter. I was going to pull up Luke chapter 4, English Standard Version, because it's accurate. But we don't want that. We want the Message version. Yeah.
All right, this
chapter. Yeah. We want to know not the accuracy of the text, but the tone of the text. Let's do that real quick. So let me explain to you how what's going on. So Susan, my Aunt Lucy, she hit my trigger. You understand? I ain't got no triggers, so I thought. But when she hit me with, "You running from this man," I can't get it out, Susan. Like, I'm not fitted. Man, first up, because when I got out of the trash can, y'all, I told myself, I ain't scared of nothing. Do y'all hear me teaching myself stuff? Do y'all hear my auto suggestion? I ain't scared of nothing. No matter what I've been through, ain't worse than this trash can. I hope y'all don't think I had a last day in the trash can and don't remember it. Please, no. I look back at this damn trash can and I said, "What we not gonna do is come back in here again." Now, it took me some years to get there. Some of y'all still ain't got there in your situations, but I ain't gonna bother you, okay? So I told myself, "You ain't gonna run from nothing no more." Y'all ready for this? Because y'all say this all. Y'all say this all the time. And ain't nobody else gonna put you in a trash can no more. Y'all ready? So when Aunt Lucy told me today, "You running from somebody," Susan, she fooled around with 60-year-old Antonio, and I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready at all. she put me back in a trash can and didn't even know it, Prophet Jerry. I wasn't ready. She hit a trigger. And when I blew up, it took 0 seconds for me to blow up. Wouldn't even nanoseconds. Because I had taught my, now this is so emotional, I taught myself, whenever this comes up, it was automatic, y'all. All these trained behaviors I got, and I couldn't even control myself. Man, I'm trying to be transparent. Let me stop the screen so I can see y'all and y'all can see me.
I'm just trying to be transparent, Daoud. I done learned a lot. I do a lot. And she fooled around and said something. And uncontrollably, Chiquita, it was regurgitation. I had no control over my response. It wasn't, if she didn't retreat from me, I wouldn't have snapped back to my senses. And I said to myself, damn, I am tripping. And I thought about it. I've been thinking about it all day. I thought about it. I say, that's a hell of a trigger I got there. Right. This is an issue that I have not worked out.
I think it's a survival reflex, right?
It is. But some of these survival reflexes are going to fool around and take away these riches. You let me flip out like that in Oprah's garden and see what happened. Wow. Oprah got me. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to tell y'all, Latrice, this was so automatic. Do you know how automatic you got to be to cuss? I pretty much cussed out my mama. I didn't cuss her out. It had nothing to do with her. But this is the energy I was on, though. And I'm quite respectable. Especially to her. That's a hell of a trigger, y'all. I dare one of you to drop a strong, loud, emotional F-bomb while on the phone with your mama. I dare you. Like Christina's like, no. I plan on living. Nope. And that's not how we do it in the Humphrey household. That's not, you can't live like that.
We'd be sitting on the basement steps. My brothers always had to go sit on the basement steps.
I know that's right, Susan. And I have never disrespected. 39 years, I never have. It was made sense because she adopted me at 14, so she automatically had my endearment. I didn't know how to show it, but she automatically had that. I beat everybody else up, but you know, I leave her son alone. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else gonna get these hands though, Daoud. Everybody else gonna get these hands, you know, stuff like that. So when I told Chris, that's in the Bible, man. That family, he was supporting Susan's sentence, man. It's family. Family will get you. Right. That's right. So we're gonna listen. The Message version is not accurate as far as translation, but that tone, yes, it captures the heart of the text. First bunch of verses. Jesus with the devil tempted. All right, that's that. Second bunch of verses, 14, starting at 14, it's all about Jesus rolling the. Oh, you want to say something? Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 is your breakthrough. Yes, sir. Verse 14. Jesus rolls up the. First off, Jesus proved everybody he can read. Most people can't read. Number one, you know, he starts talking about scriptures and stuff. Okay. He basically says that he is the Messiah, is what he basically said. Now, if I could, let's process this in a minute. I want to set this up so you can see. So I want y'all to see how Jesus hit people triggers and how Jesus told all y'all, family ain't gonna never let you make it. I know you ain't gonna believe me, but this text is gonna let you believe me. Here's what happened. Christina, Jesus goes to the synagogue as is his custom. Uh-oh. Now, if God went to church and you ain't God, you probably want to go to church. But I ain't bothering you. Or mosque, right? I ain't bothering you. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying, as is his custom. He rolls up the scroll and says, he reads, he was set captives free, give sight to the blind. Says all that great stuff, rolls up and say, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, if you don't know what that means, allow me to tell you a scripture that says God is coming back. And then I, on the ATS call, I say, y'all, all right, today I am God, I came back. Kind of weird, isn't it? I got you messed up, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, that's how the people felt about Jesus. Do you understand? It's when I basically Jesus said, I'm the Messiah. all them scriptures you've been reading about, that's me, Antonio. And you don't like that, huh? Okay, they didn't like it either. Okay? Except for, I'm lying, he was the truth. You understand that? Okay, now, that's the context. As Phil says, this context is king, not content. And he's right. Now, here's what Jesus says. Prophet Jerry, walk with me. Jesus said, oh, you ain't like that, huh? Now watch the rest of this text. Grace, you read well. If you don't mind, if you could start off at 14, I would greatly appreciate it. Actually, not 14, but I just read that. What you can do is start right here with he rolled.
He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the assistant.
Hold on, let me my mic.
He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the place was on him, intent. Then he started in. You've just heard scripture make history. It came true just now in this place.
Hold the hell on, Grace. Mute your mic. Jesus say, Phil, history just been made. Ain't nobody ever read this and became this at the same time. Go ahead, respect that. Go ahead, Grace.
All who were there, watching and listening, were surprised at how well he spoke.
Stop right there, Grace. Up until that point, Susan, everybody happy. Oh, my God. This. Oh, thank you, God. We like this guy. Go ahead, Grace.
But they also said.
Watch yourself, Grace. You don't even read them up. Look at that butt. I get it all the time at ATS. I mean, I get all, you meet somebody. I get all the time at ATS. Ooh, Antonio, you know what? Mm-hmm. However, I hear what you're saying, but I get it all the time at ATS. That's what just happened just now. All right. Jesus, you a bad motor scooter. But, okay, go ahead, Grace. Come on. Come on.
Yeah. But they also said, isn't this Joseph's son?
Oh, Grace, God. Motor scooter? Forget this chair. This chair is holding me back. Hold on, Grace. Get what they say. Wait a minute now. He can't be the Messiah. I grew up with him. Uh-oh. Oh, I'm talking to you, Chris. Isn't this Joseph's son? Wait a minute now. Adrian, I just gave her $20. She can't be my mentor. Oh, y'all not hearing me. Wait a minute now, Prophet Jerry in a hospital bed. No. How he know God? When I'm better than him. When we went to the same school. How is he God? Ain't no scripture being for me. Ain't that Joseph boy? Ain't that carpenter's boy? Yo. Ain't that the human consultant? I'm trying to help somebody. Come on,
that's powerful. That is so powerful. That's what happened to all of the messengers. Because that was the same thing with the prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Because he only got prophethood at the age of 40. Right. He didn't have parents. He was orphaned.
He was poor, orphaned. Yep, keep going.
He was illiterate. And his own community who loved him, and they knew him as a boy growing up, and they gave him the title.
They punished him for growing up with him.
Right. And then when he received prophethood, nobody would believe him. Nobody. And then eventually they expelled him out, which is what they did to Abraham and so on and so forth. That's crazy. Your own family.
Your own family. I ain't even got to what Jesus said yet. I just want y'all to know the people say, oh, hell no. Wait a minute. That's tyranny. That's Christina's sister. She's dating my cousin. I wish I had some folk around here. I need some folk. Let me, is it, that's Monica. She gay. No, I need y'all to get this here. People won't let you be great because they grew up with you. I mean, Susan happily married. She ain't no damn happily married. I know she used to have that sores on her skin. Ain't nobody worried about no Susan. No, that's the truth. It's some folk in Susan. Susan got some folk right now, 80 years old. Still got her 14-year-old girl. Susan didn't heal people. She didn't, half of Les Brown whole community, she didn't help. Listen. She didn't help her, the whole half of his community. And they still won't respect her as part of the strategic half of the human consultants. And if they do, well, what's the human consultants? Uh-oh. Phil, well, he just make jokes, but don't nobody like them jokes. But now it's not Phil's enemies. Phil's enemies don't talk about Phil. They mad at Phil. They ain't even trying to think about Phil. Does that make sense? See, y'all enemies ain't thinking about you. I ain't never had an enemy inbox me. Come on now. Ain't no enemies inboxing me. It's friends who thinking about becoming enemies inboxing me. When last time one of y'all hated somebody for 15 years and then inboxed them out the blue? Yeah, never. I ain't never had a Muslim, because I got a Christian background. I ain't never had a Muslim say nothing bad to me. But them Christians? Yeah. Inbox me. Dawood, I ain't never had no Christians. It's the Muslims. Whatever you like is who killing you. But let me go ahead, because I haven't even got to the red in this text yet. I haven't. Tanya say she with me. I ain't got to the red yet. Grace, if you can go ahead and. But ain't that joke? Hold on. Let me get some comment. Let me get some commentary real quick. I'm gonna hurry up because I think Agent was still on. Let me get some comment. I changed that boy diapers. You crazy as hell if you think he the Messiah. That's no. No, Prophet Jerry, I know you love the Lord, but your Lord had to be potty trained. All man. I'm not saying not all God, but if your Lord was all man, your Lord had to pee on himself. Do you understand? We're gonna have to take that. And some folk was 8 years old and had to change his diapers. And they said, wait a minute, that sounds good, but I didn't change that boy diaper. I had to get his mama $20. How many of you know them? How many of y'all know them nice folk that only help you so they can talk behind your back when they do so? Well, you know, I had to give Phil $20. Uh-huh. I did it because God is good. But I was wondering what his wife was doing. Oh yeah, I don't know no kind of people. That's it. I know
some people like that. I call some of them my family.
I don't know what my enemies say about me, but I know what my family say about me. I don't have problems with my enemies. My enemies. Let me tell you what my enemies. Let me stop just saying. Let me tell you what my enemies do. We see each other. They shake my hair. They go to their side of the room. I go to my side of the room. And then they say, oh man, Tonio. They go, oh yeah, yeah, I know him. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah.
They respectfully don't want to talk about me, but my family. Oh, Christine. Be careful. Prophet Jerry. Oh. Man, you follow him? No. You good. Let me be quiet. I ain't got no enemies hating on me. In the mosque with Dawood. All right, there's what I'm talking about. I like that. In fact, as a matter of fact, I'm gonna go to him and go to his mosque too. I'm looking forward to it. Go ahead and read it, Grace. Read it right here so I get to the point. Right there. Read it. Rich around.
Ain't that Joseph's boy? Okay, isn't this Joseph's son the one we've known since he was just a kid? Okay. Wait, can you unhighlight that so I can see the rest of the words? He answered, I suppose you're going to quote the proverb, doctor, go heal yourself.
All right, wait a minute, I gotta explain that.
Okay.
I gotta explain that, Seb. If you doing well, show me, is what that means. Okay, go ahead. Let me make that more personal. If you are really a millionaire, Antonio, uh-oh, why you don't look like one? Uh-oh. Help me somebody. Help me somebody. Okay, now you can go, Grace.
He answered, I suppose you're going to quote the proverb, doctor, go heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we heard you did in Capernaum. Well,
Wait, stop, Grace. If you're really the millionaire maker, do it in Galveston. No. I see you, Jerry. They don't even call him Prophet Jerry. Family don't call him Prophet Jerry.
No, they don't call him Prophet Jerry.
They don't even call him Jerry. They call him whatever nickname he had. Jay. They would probably ain't even Jay. It's probably some Bookie Ookie baby or something.
Bubblegum.
See, I knew it was Jerry. Jerry is too dignified.
I had already said it before you said it.
You on that call, Bubblegum, impressing the people. But a prophet, they love to quote this crap. A prophet, all his words come to pass. What about your life? What about your life? I don't even know why you fooling with that girl. You ain't gonna let her down. Oh, y'all don't want to keep it real with me. Y'all don't want to act like they tried to talk Susan and Phil out of marriage. I know they did it. I know what they do. They tried to talk Renee out of marriage. You know what? They why you doing that girl like that? Now they come at the prophet. Renee too strong. She too strong. She ain't about that BS. Jerry, bubblegum. He love the Lord. He be letting them make it. Don't put that girl through that. Right? Come on. Don't put that girl through that. Don't put that girl through that. I tell you what, how about you stop prophesying and start losing weight? Come on now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Uh-oh, can I get this one? How you gonna be a prophet with no church? Help me, Lord.
Okay, that's the one.
Come
Bishop.
On. Come
Bishop.
On. Come on.
I'm about to throw this hat
at when ain't a damn single prophet in the Bible had a church.
Oh,
or a following. But I'm sorry, I apologize. I'm not trying to bother y'all. I'm gonna end class early because I'm keeping it too real. I'm keeping it real. Ain't none of them prophets had no following. Ain't nobody. Jeremiah did convert one person over to the Lord. 40 years. Jeremiah ministered for 40 years and never joined a new member. Not one. 40 years. Do you know how ineffective they would say your ministry, Phil, it's time for you to let this human consultant stuff go. It's been 40 years, Phil. 40 years, Doc. It's been 40 years. Phil, stop taking your wife through that, right? You know, I'm serious. This is what we do. So I'm explaining that whole, you know, I'm saying that's that little shade. This is equivalent. Let me put it up. This is I'm gonna talk to my black folk real quick. Okay, I'm talking about black folk real quick. Right here. Hold on. Where is that, Grace? Will you let do here in your hometown?
Well, we heard you did.
This is what they mean in black folk talk. Your little miracles.
That's it.
Lil. Yeah, y'all know how we do. Yeah. Do them little miracles here. Uh-huh. Go ahead, Grace. Finish it off for us.
Well, let me tell you something. No prophet is ever welcomed in his hometown. Isn't it a fact that there were many widows in Israel at the time of Elijah during that 3.5 years of drought when famine devastated the land? But the only widow to whom Elijah was sent was in Sarepta? In Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, but the only one cleansed was naming the Syrians.
More of the story is they ain't like the fact that Jesus was out there talking about God for everybody. What is the point here is Susan is absolutely right when she say that be family hitting them triggers. Because family say, Susan. Now remember, Susan, now I know you with feeling all. Look. I know you with feeling all. I know you with feeling all. That's how they hit Susan.
Yes, that's it.
I know you with feeling all. Mm-hmm. He cute, but I remember when you used to cry with them sores. Come on now, help me out, Susan. That ain't that. Look. You know them. Yeah. I remember when.
Yes.
It's my immediate family.
Always.
My mom, all my mom's sisters and all of them in Massachusetts, they're all so grateful and so kind and thankful for all that I did. And on my dad's side, my cousins, I'm gotten even closer to them through all this time. It's the immediate family that sat around and did nothing. You know, and my brother, the two that passed we were so close, but the one that's left has always had issues, and I happen to have to deal with him and then all of his gang. So that's the hard part, that the ones that are already gone, you know.
I understand.
The ones that are left are the hard ones to deal with. So it makes it lonely. But thank goodness that, you know, I have the others that I can. Amen. But on, I don't really talk about it. You know, I just go on. I mean, it's always those people, they've always, you know, like you say, Phil and I are totally different. I didn't stay in the hometown and do the normal the normal thing. Hey, they're still doing the normal, boring stuff.
Y'all was dead wrong in the 80s. You supposed to go get a job. Actually, you were supposed to sit there and be pretty, have babies. Phil was supposed to go get a job. And you were supposed to go be a secretary. That's what that was supposed to happen in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't. I wasn't staying in that town anyways. You know, the small town. Grow out of that. It's interesting. And you just have to let it go. You have to let it go. But when you're dealing with all the issues that happen afterwards, that you got to have their attention and deal with them when you're dealing with an estate and doing all that stuff, it's a mess. And the jealousies.
Well, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So let me end it with this to y'all. Chris, that was in red. And you got all the context. They said, that's Chris. You can get the fuck. That's Chris. Ain't that Bethel boy?
That's it.
Okay. Whatever your mama name is, right? Let me bless y'all. And Lucy hit that trigger on me because I taught myself. Now, we ain't doing that. We not running from no man. We gonna die before we run. And she hit that trigger. And it wasn't until, listen y'all, I want y'all to hear this. I really want y'all to hear this. See, I didn't have my discipline in order with this trigger. Deanna will tell you. I said, hey Lucy, after I finished cussing Phil, and I heard her back away. She say, I said, my bad, Lucy, my bad. I'm tripping. I literally did. And then she said, and then I told her, look, I still want an excuse though, Phil. I say, and Lucy, you know they've been mean to me. And she killed me with this comment, y'all. Killed me. Took all my heart. I still ain't got it left. She say, me too, baby. They've been mean to me because of you. Killed me. Oof, I almost cried just now. Killed me, right? You know what I'm saying? And that's when I said, because they call her and talk about me to her so it can get back to me. there's a strong, here's my point. At no point in all two, three of these, well, it's more than 3 years, but 3 years of this dumb stuff, have I ever considered that my Aunt Lucy was hurting like me.
Reverend.
It's triggers, Phil. Triggers. Triggers don't let you think straight.
Reverend.
Triggers don't let you think straight. How many times has Phil and Susan with their kids had to act happy and really that hurt them? Same with us. My Aunt Lucy had to tell me, me too, baby. And it was the first time I realized, damn, you've been suffering. Because, you know, when you suffer, you think you're the Lone Ranger. Oh, come on, Ashley. It's just you. Ain't got nothing to do with your husband. It's me. You understand what I'm going through. Ty, you don't get it. No, he do get it. And stop punishing him so you think he can get it. I had no idea as we end that I was punishing the woman who adopted me. Well, I wouldn't punish. Well, I was. Nah, I ain't even justify that. I was punishing a woman who adopted me, not even knowing that every time I did not answer their calls, they called her. May we all protect our discipline. May she have the discipline to be happy. And may I be so happy that I can accept their phone calls and not even give a damn. Phil, last words on you.
Well, I think you decided, or maybe you didn't, verse 24. You haven't covered that yet.
Nuh-uh. Walk right through them. Verse 24. Well, I got this crazy version up. Is it the... And there were many leopards in it. Well, read it for me, Phil. It's so confusing here. It's like 23 to 27.
And he went on.
Yeah.
I tell you solemnly, no prophet is ever accepted in his own country.
Own country, none. Never going to be accepted. I had to build ATS to live my purpose. Was never going to be ATS in the Temple Smith family. Phil was never going to be Phil in the Sorrentino family. Susan was gonna be Susan in the her maiden name family. I have no idea what it is. Never.
Bolt.
Never. Bolt, that's right. Yeah. Susan Bolt Sortino sitting right there on the screen. Duh. Yeah,
she's the bolt and I'm the nut.
And there it is. And there it is. Y'all, my last words, I would tell you what I want you to get from this lesson is the way you practice drinking or losing weight, whatever that is, whatever that thick Prophet Jerry, this something that you are an expert at. And I don't mean like philosophical. I mean, you six pack skinny with this. The way you do that is the way you need to do your happiness. Antonio T. Smith Jr., you can't plant better. You can dominate. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you in the morning for absolutely absolutely nothing. The 8 o'clock meeting, and then the 12 o'clock class, and then absolutely nothing. All right, y'all.
Love you,
but love you more, man. Appreciate
love
y'all.
You guys.
Thank you, Susan, for helping me teach that. Y'all have a good one. I appreciate y'all. Y'all have a good one.